Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 14th of May, Anno Domini 2016, and you, oh, you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. The merger of Charter Communications with Time Warner Cable and Bright House Networks is imminent, as the companies cleared the final hurdle Thursday when California regulators voted their approval. The FCC approved the deal a week ago, and other regulators also signaled their satisfaction after Charter made several pro-competition concessions, and the companies needed only the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC, to bless the merger valued at just under $80 billion. That's billion with a B. Francis would like us to remind you that regulatory body voted unanimously Thursday to approve the transfer of phone licenses in California, setting the stage for the merger to close approximately probably within a week. One condition Charter agreed to was that it would not launch usage-based broadband pricing or impose data caps or change interconnect fees, while another concession outlaws video programming terms that could harm internet video services. Such rules are designed to protect online streamers like Amazon and Hulu, as well as their customers. Charter made its offer for Time Warner Cable and Bright House a year ago, shortly after Comcast pulled its offer to acquire Time Warner Cable, a deal which might not have passed the regulatory scrutiny because it would have resulted in cable in a cable behemoth that detractors were calling a monopoly. Instead, once Charter's acquisition of Time Warner Cable and Bright House is consummated, the new entity will be the country's number two cable operator behind Comcast and the number three pay TV operator, closely behind AT&T and DirecTV. Analysts say the merged Charter-Time Warner-Bright House will have 15% of the nation's pay TV subscribers and 22% of its broadband internet subscribers. The sad news, of course, is that in terms of customer satisfaction, all of them are at the bottom of the barrel. We should give a shout out to Stop the Cap, who was tireless in their efforts to make the concessions about no data caps and no interconnect fees become a reality. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that would be bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Charter / Time Warner / Bright House merger. And the choices are can't wait, this does not bode well, I'm cutting the cord, I've already cut the cord, and I have no idea what this means. This does not bode well is the number one choice, followed sadly by I have no idea what this means, followed by I've already cut the cord, followed by can't wait, followed by I'm cutting the cord. Now, I know you will have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right, you'll see under Fascinating Stuff, the first choice is the forums. If you scroll down in the forums, the second one is the poll discussion, and right now, the first item on the poll discussions is 14 May 16, Charter, Time Warner, Bright House, Merge. There are four posts so far, most of them about Greenlight. Which, as you know, is a fiber internet provider here in town.
Finally some competition.
And I know you'll have more to say, so you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That would be 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Just like our friend and the mastermind behind so much that's been going on with this story, Phil Dampier is on the line. Hiya, Phil. How's it going?
Good afternoon.
It's a reality.
Yeah, it's a reality.
It's been an interesting year or two since Time Warner Cable decided that it wanted to put itself up for sale to the highest bidder. And those of you who have been around and following this battle for a while know that it could have been a lot worse, because the original company that wanted to pick up Time Warner Cable was, of course, Comcast. And Comcast is, I call, the great Satan of cable companies.
Well, it seems to be the single most hated cable company in the world.
Oh, they're the most hated company in the country. The American Consumer Satisfaction Index raised Comcast dead last, where they asked people questions about, you know, just how bad is it? And it turned out that IRS auditors came in at a higher rating than Comcast. So knowing Comcast's history and knowing what that would represent, we fought long and hard, and we were very successful in keeping that cable company as far out of this area as possible. And when Charter quickly moved in right after that, we were completely aware that we would have another battle on our hands, but we would be in a less strong position, not because Charter is a much better company, but simply because most people don't know who they are.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of people out there right now that are sitting and saying, well, how could Charter do any worse than what Time Warner Cable has done? And that's a question that you should never ask.
You'll be challenge accepted.
You will find out, yes.
Yes, you will find out. You know, sometimes no news is good news. And I found it remarkable sitting and testifying before the New York State Public Service Commission about this and the earlier deal, where I found it highly ironic that here I was defending Time Warner Cable. And being their best friend and watching eyebrows from some of the Time Warner Cable executives who know perfectly well who I am, sitting there and touting the benefits of how wonderful Time Warner Cable is in comparison to the other options that are about to be foisted on us.
Right. That's one of the things that we've been saying over the years, is that as bad as you think the local companies are, there are worse ones.
Yes, there are. You know, and it's really unfortunate. And it's a product of the fact that we live in a duopoly of one cable company and one telephone company. And in areas where the telephone company cares and actually offers meaningful competition, consumers actually have a choice.
I thought Comcast
cared.
And
here in Rochester, we have Frontier.
Yeah, I thought Comcast cared.
Yes, the Frontier, the phone company that is, you know, has the ironic name of basically being the telephone company for those living in the Old West.
Yeah.
Which anyone with Frontier DSL can easily attest. So I think what we want to do here at this moment is, now that this deal is a reality, and let me tell you, we fought this thing down to the last minute. We were battling in California earlier this week, attempting to extract more concessions from the California Public Utility Commission, which would seem irrelevant to those of us here in New York, except for the fact that we won a major victory when we were advocating deal conditions here in New York, and that is a clause that the Public Service Commission imposed on this deal called Most Favored State. And what it basically means is that in any other state, if any state gets a better deal than New York, New York also gets the same deal.
Nice!
And that was a concession that we did win from them. And I have been talking to staffers of the Public Service Commission and other interested parties in this deal in New York for a long time. And I will say that what originally started as a volunteer operation here in Rochester, Stop the Cap, which was to battle Time Warner Cable and Frontier from imposing usage-based billing on our area, and right, we were dismissed by Time Warner Cable executives and Frontier executives as, you know, Cheeto-eating bloggers living in our basement, into a force to be reckoned with. I had spoke to someone in California this week who, you know, talked to Charter's lawyers, who despise me, because thanks to the efforts to Stop the Cap and a lot of volunteers who helped us put some pressure on, we cost Charter Cable $1 billion, that's billion with a B, $6 billion here in the state of New York that they were not going to have to spend if it wasn't for ordinary consumers standing up and demanding a better deal.
Well done, you.
And this is what we're going to get since, you know, we're going to have to deal with this.
Right.
It's not as bad as it could have been, and I'll just basically outline what we're going to get here in the Rochester area, and this will also apply to other areas in New York State. First of all, for the next year or two, practically nothing, because this is going to be a major undertaking to combine these two companies, actually three companies together when you count Bright House Networks. Charter is a much smaller cable company than Time Warner Cable. This is a Charter Cable is a company that emerged from bankruptcy not too many years ago because they got in over their heads.
Right.
A point that we made to the Public Service Commission that it looks like they're repeating past history by putting themselves in a huge amount of debt. But assuming that they keep their heads above water, in about the next several months, you'll probably get one of these wonderful newsletters in the mail from Time Warner Cable telling you about how wonderful this is and it's great and everything's just delightful. But one of the tangible things that you're going to get, in addition to a useless newsletter that you can throw in the trash, is the fact that one of the concessions that we won here is every inch of New York State served by what is now Time Warner Cable must be upgraded to Time Warner Cable Max, which is their upgrade program for broadband service that will mean that instead of paying for 15 megabit internet, which you do now if you're on a standard plan, you will get 50 megabits at no additional charge. And if you are a 50 megabit customer right now at Time Warner Cable, you will get 300 megabits at no additional charge.
Nice.
And every inch of New York has to be upgraded. Now, they're currently beginning these upgrades in Syracuse. Rochester is next, and that will commence sometime probably this summer or fall. And the first notice of it is Time Warner Cable will send a notice out telling you that your analog cable TV service is going away. And they will convert the entire cable TV lineup to digital format, and that will open up the bandwidth that is required to provide these new internet speeds. So if you're a customer right now and you have spare TVs, they're going to offer you these annoying little digital these little tiny cable boxes that they promised us would cost 99 cents and now cost about $3. So, as I said, broken promises are nothing new for the cable industry.
Right.
I recommend that when you get that notice, forget about it and go buy yourself some Rokus to put on those spare TVs if you don't have a set-top box on them now, because you will pay one-time fee for those Roku boxes and you will get the entire Time Warner Cable lineup on them and you will not pay a monthly fee to rent this annoying equipment. About 4 months after that conversion takes place, you will start to see these new broadband speeds becoming available in this area. And this is regardless of what Charter does or says they're going to do. This is an agreement that we won, a concession that we won up front. By 2019, they must offer gigabit internet service in the entire state. This is another concession that we won from them, and it will be something they're perfectly capable of doing. Some of the other things that are important for folks to recognize is Charter has promised several things, and how generous they are to only promise it for 3 years. No usage caps, no usage billing, and you can take a wild guess why they wanted to offer that up front.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. I can just make a phone call and Senator Schumer and I can go stand on their front lawn like we did in 2009 and raise a whole lot of trouble.
Yep. Listen, hold on. We have to take a quick break. Can you stay on the line?
No problem.
Excellent. Thanks. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, the amazing Phil Dampier, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go back to Phil, I would like to apologize to everyone. This is entirely my fault. Just yesterday, I took the snow brush out of my car.
Oh, you're the one.
It is my fault, and I apologize to everyone. And now back to the amazing Phil Dampier of StopTheCap.com. Welcome back, Phil.
Nice to be here.
So you were talking about how for 3 years there will be no usage caps and no usage billing.
Well, this is what Charter offered. In addition to that, if you have been subjected to the ridiculous $10 a month modem rental fee, that will be going away under Charter again for 3 years. And they will, of course, according to them, they will continue to voluntarily adhere to net neutrality principles for those 3 years. And these were the offers that they made voluntarily. Now, Chairman Wheeler at the Federal Communications Commission, who continues to surprise me the longer he's been there, he's turned out to be a really strong advocate for consumers. And this is something that has surprised me because he used to be the head of the cable lobby, is really doing his job. And he said, you know, 3 years is not enough. And so the Federal Communications Commission, in their ruling approving this transaction, has extended the no usage cap requirement to up to 7 years, which will really give us an opportunity to not have to deal with these kinds of ridiculous internet overcharging schemes that they come up with, and potentially give companies like Greenlight and any other competitor that may ever choose to emerge in this area to, you know, provide consumers with an alternative to that.
Right, right. Go ahead.
I think all in all, the conditions that we got are meaningful here in New York because they're going to protect jobs. They're going to require Charter to clean up some of the customer service problems that have existed when you've dealt with a cable company. You've seen Time Warner's ads on TV saying, you know, there's no hold music, there's none of this and all that. Well, I waited on hold almost an hour to deal with the problem with them last month, so I enjoyed lots of hold music. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's going to be a work in progress, but it was the best deal that we could get for consumers based on the reality of the fact that in Washington, D.C., if you want to demonstrate something's in the public interest, basically the test seems to be that you aren't going to go in and nakedly gouge people to death. Our view is the cable industry is already consolidated enough. And when you look at what consumers have for options, Rochester is a perfect case. We have one phone company that really is very stingy about investing in their network. And we have Time Warner Cable, which has like an 80% market share here.
Yeah.
And if we have time, I'll explain to you some of the things that Frontier is finally talking about doing. But I wanted to answer any questions that you guys may have had about this.
Anybody? No, we're pretty good. I'm kind of fascinated to know that you managed to get a 7-year concession out of these guys. I like that much better. It'll be interesting to me to see what happens in the future with companies like Greenlight as the Time Warner speeds creep up to meet what companies like Greenlight are offering now, whether Greenlight can get any faster or cheaper or whatever.
Yeah, like so Greenlight and Google are offering, and other companies are offering gigabit now. And so what are they going to have in 5 to 7 years?
Right.
And that's a concern that I've expressed. I've even expressed it to the folks at Greenlight. They really have a short window here because this is before the introduction of DOCSIS 3.1, which is the new standard for cable over broadband, which is going to give cable operators at least a chance for download speeds in the gigabit range, maybe not necessarily the upload speeds, at least at the beginning.
Right.
But they have a limited opportunity for growth here. However, Greenlight does not have the reputation of a Comcast or a Time Warner Cable. And, you know, the clear message that was sent when Chairman Wheeler insisted on 7 years is that he is not buying the argument that usage caps are about fairness, they're about paying your way, all of this stuff, because we are still paying outrageously higher internet prices in this country than other countries around the world for much slower speeds.
Yep.
And Chairman Wheeler sent a clear message that Comcast heard very loudly, because that same week when this was announced, Comcast tripled their test usage cap. Aren't you glad we aren't dealing with Comcast today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to a gigabit, and then, of course, raise the price of, you know, what I find very unique and innovative. Comcast created an insurance plan to protect customers from themselves, you know, from Comcast.
Nice.
In saying that if you want unlimited internet and you don't want to pay our overlimit fees, pay us $30 or $50 and we won't overcharge you.
Wow. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm Italian. I have relatives who used to do that.
You know, it's like I've always called the cable industry, it's like the five families reborn, you know. They each carved up their own territories. They never agreed to cross them. And it's all about extorting more money out of your wallet every time you turn around. And in without competition. And as I said, if, you know, in this area, if you want something that approaches internet speed, you know, or broadband speed, which is now 25 megabits, according to the FCC, you have one option.
Right.
I will tell you that Frontier finally has seen some wisdom that they're going to lose their business if they don't do something. And they are going to spend some money, and they're going to develop something similar to UVerse, which is an AT&T fiber to the neighborhood service. And they're going to offer a product in many of their markets. I don't know if Rochester is one of them yet, called Vantage. And I guess it will be an advantage instead of a disadvantage. But basically what it means is that you will share a very high-speed DSL line for TV, phone, and internet service. And it's better than what they're offering now. But Time Warner Cable will still continue to eat them for lunch, because Time Warner Cable system is built to provide higher speeds than dealing with ancient copper that people like Dave Enright have been complaining about for decades.
Right.
Amen to that one.
Right. I will say one beautiful thing for me. I have Time Warner, but I also, for internet, I have Greenlight.
Yes, lucky you.
Lucky
me
indeed.
They're across the street from me, Nick. They're across the street from my house. I can look right across the street, and I can see people happy and joyful, and the sun is shining, and over here, it's raining.
Well, listen, if the guy next door to me might be selling his house, I'll give you a call. But the big thing for me is, when Time Warner goes out, which happens more often than I would like, I still have internet access. And the once that Greenlight went out for about half an hour, I still had cable.
Right. Fiber optics is a far more reliable technology. It costs a lot of money to put it in the ground to begin with. But if you just amortize that, or you just spread it out over 20 years, you know, the amount of maintenance you have to do on a fiber network is so much less than dealing with angry squirrels chewing through your copper wires.
Yep. In addition, don't forget, when you know, laying a fiber wire costs a lot of money. But laying 500 at a time costs no more.
That's right. And you can infinitely upgrade fiber optic technology. It's all dependent on the lasers that you use,
which is,
again, better than you're dealing with a copper wire system that has real bandwidth limitations. And if, you know, you live near Pinnacle Hill and, you know, you're hearing CMF coming through your couch, you know.
Believe me, been there.
You know, it's going to interfere with everything. As I said, Dave Enright and listening to AM radio stations over his modem or something.
No, when I lived down in Brighton, that was the weirdest thing. I could hear, you know, WXXI louder on my phone than I could the person.
Yep.
It was just weird.
The lady who sold us our house, I was over her house before, you know, we closed the sale. And we were sitting in her dining room talking, and all of a sudden, what she was convinced was her dead husband's voice came over her little organ, you know, her little mini organ, which it turned out to be an announcer on the radio. Her husband had a very mellifluous, deep voice, but it was just, and the organ was off.
Yep. I hear you. You know, when your fluorescent lights kick on because you live too close to a TV transmitter.
Yep.
You know, I just wonder, what's that doing in my house?
Well, nothing. Haven't you read the reports?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine. That glowing at night is okay.
You're fine, citizen. Shut up.
So that's basically where we are here in Rochester. You know, as I said, if you're outside of this immediate area and you have Verizon as your phone company and you're waiting for files, you have a long, long wait.
Yeah.
And you know, Time Warner Cable companies will continue to take away market share from phone companies that are only providing, you know, 1990s era DSL. And where we are lucky enough to have fiber overbuilders in this area going neighborhood by neighborhood, okay, it's broadband nirvana. And the problem is, by the time they get to everybody, I'll be dead.
So. You're right. But they're across the street, man. You're next, clearly.
I know. Well, they're right across the street. I've seen it. You know, I can see it. And, you know, when they have these campaigns that Greenlight offers, if you're willing to go knock on some doors, you know, you're not telling someone they have to sign a contract for the rest of their life to use another provider. They're just saying, listen, we'll give it a serious thought. And that's what Greenlight is using in order to determine the areas that they're going to wire next. So, you know,
and I'll tell you what.
You need to be a broadband evangelist if you want better internet.
That's how our neighborhood got it. We went out and knocked door to door. They will send you door hangers.
Yep.
One of the interesting things was the house on the other side of me just sold a few months ago. Had I known, I would have let you know. And I've talked to the new tenants, and they said one of the things that convinced them was fiber internet.
Yeah, did you say that the owner, previous owner, used that as a selling point?
Yeah.
Yes, and that's very common now. Realtors say that a house will not sell if it's not broadband capable, and it will sell faster if you can say that there is fiber internet service available to you, you know, in that area. And I think it's, you know, it's becoming key because this is not just a nice service to have anymore. This is an essential utility. And it's about time that our public officials treat it that way instead of allowing a handful of companies to control the, you know, internet and economic destinies of our community. Because Rochester is not well positioned right now. We have slower internet speeds than other cities in this area. And we have one competitor that effectively isn't trying very hard.
Yep. And you know, as Jerry Seward has said more than once, getting municipal broadband in this city would be like the Erie Canal.
Right. And we have been strong advocates for that. It's a highly political issue, and I think the county legislature would give us a lot of trouble for it. But, you know, if you're in Brighton or the city, you know, there has been talk here and there. The city school district's been the latest to talk about providing fiber optics. But a lot of people demagogue that kind of stuff and say, whoa, we just want to give people faster internet so they can waste their time. But in cities like Chattanooga, Tennessee, where the municipal utility company installed fiber to the home, you have businesses from all over the Mid-South relocating into Chattanooga to take advantage of that. And they're getting billions and billions of dollars of new business and jobs. It's a proven model for success.
Yep, and we've seen it time and again, and I don't know why we're not doing it here.
Well, it's another example of government thinking in the short term and not in the long term. And, you know, we're going to pay a price for that.
Yep.
Ontario County did it in the city of Canandaigua, and I've been reading that that's working out pretty well, too, for their business growth.
Yes, it's very, you know, you will see a lot of middle mile networks that are developed, and there's government grants for it. And middle mile means basically, in shorthand, not for you.
Yeah.
You know, not for the consumer, because they will wire between, you know, office parks or the internet supplier or more commonly even now cell towers.
Right.
But the cost for that last mile to bring that internet service to you is what's always the stumbling block. And the solution to that is a voter. Contact your town supervisor or, you know, your city officials that are, you know, in your community, and let them know this is very important to you, and your next vote may depend on whether they are for this kind of municipal or public broadband, as we call it, or they're opposed to it. And yes, like everything else, there is a first-time cost to do this, but if you think about it, how much are you been paying Time Warner Cable in rate increases and modem fees and surcharges and, you know, surcharges on the surcharges? You know, if you had internet service at a reasonable price, you'd be paying $20 a month for 500 megabits.
Yep.
And that's not what you're paying today. So if you, it's a tax that goes into the hands, you know, in the pockets of a handful of shareholders. And let me tell you, the head of Time Warner Cable, as a result of this deal, has a gold umbrella that is worth almost $200 million. Just for selling the company. Just for selling the company. $200 million. And that doesn't include all the benefits and his lifetime chauffeurs and home security systems and private jets and the other executives are going to share in their payday as well.
Yep.
These folks are going to make out like a bandit. Wall Street will make out like a bandit, and you, after this is all said and done, you'll get the same rate increase notices you've always gotten.
Well, let us not forget, when you are a publicly traded company, the customer is the shareholder.
Where?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You would think. No, actually, it's the shareholder is the customer. That's right. Right. Yes, the customer is only the shareholders are the customers. If you're just a customer and you don't own stock in that company,
right?
You're the product that they give to the shareholders. And these Wall Street analysts are saying, you know, people are paying too little for broadband. Since they won't cancel it, you need to raise the price another $10 or $15 and slap the caps on. I read this stuff every single day. I read these. I listen to the shareholder teleconferences. It's all there.
Yep. Listen, we got to take another break. You want to stick around?
Sure, no problem.
All right, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Phil Dampier, you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Phil Dampier from Stop the Cap on the line. Phil, I have to say, the theoretical limit for fiber, somewhere north of a petabyte per second. Petabit per second. For those of you who are unfamiliar with these geek terms, we have kilobit, megabit, gigabit. Right, 1,000 times a bit is a kilobit, 1,000 times a kilobit is a megabit, 1,000 times a megabit is a gigabit, 1,000 times a gigabit is a terabit, and 1,000 times a terabit is a petabit.
So basically, one fiber strand can do enough to like support the entire state of Maryland.
Yes, yes, or just fast enough for me.
Yes, I was deeply offended with that weather forecast, by the way. I'm very upset. So.
As I said, it is my fault, and I'm accepting responsibility.
Yeah, wet snow, it's not for me. I've had a tough week this week fighting this battle, and I do not need snow.
Yeah.
I wanted to say one other thing here, basically, because, you know, regardless of the fact that, as a consumer, you're basically going to kind of go with the tide here or whatever these big companies decide to do for you, I want to make sure that people realize you don't have to pay the asking price for these services. I have been fighting to educate people on how to get a better deal out of these companies for the last several years.
Yep.
And it's gotten a little mildly tougher this time, but still, if you're willing to invest about 20, 25 minutes, you can do it for yourself. And that is to use one magic word by calling Time Warner Cable and saying this, cancel.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you will be transferred to a retention operator who will try to rescue your business. And you will tell them, I can't afford this anymore. You're charging me for the yarn channel, the yak channel, 1 million channel. I don't even know what some of these channels are, and I don't want them. I watch 12 channels, and you're charging me this fee and this other fee and $10 modem fee, and now we have a broadcast and sports surcharge. I watched golf one time in my life, and I needed therapy for 6 months. I do not watch sports. I do not want to pay a surcharge for ESPN or anything else because I don't watch it. But, you know, there you go. See, I'm angry. Now they can hear the sirens in the back.
Yeah, they're coming for you now, Val.
So, you know, they're coming to get me. So I want people to save some real money and put it into something else and say the word cancel. Go to Time Warner's website, look at the deals they give to new customers, and tell them, listen, I can switch. I can switch to Frontier. Yeah, I know you probably aren't, but you know, you can say it, and you can say, I see the new customers get all the good deals, and loyal customers get a higher bill. And I'm done with that. I'm so through with you.
Yep. So,
and you want to tell them, I want the same deal that I'm seeing on your website for new customers, and they will give it to you, and they will give it to you for a year. And I've been saving people, you know, $600 a year, $800 a year for a 20-minute investment in a phone call. And you can ask them for free speed upgrades. You can ask them for throw in a free premium movie channel. You know, why not?
Why not?
You know, and then set a Google Calendar or whatever calendar choice, you know, whatever preference you have, that one, you know, about 2 weeks before 1 year from today, when you call, that you're going to call them again and you're going to say the same thing. And by doing that, you will pay substantially less. I have lowered my cable bill that used to be around $200 a month to $112 a month without losing a single service.
Yep, yep.
Well, so I want people to do that. When you're done listening to this show and you give a generous contribution to this radio station,
this
is local, real radio, folks.
Take the money you save on your Time Warner bill and give it to
us. Take a percentage of that. You can donate some to Stop the Cat, but I also want you to give some money to 90.1 and put the rest of it into something else that you want.
Right.
And that will be your dividend for this sale.
And by the way, folks, for all the amazing work that Phil has done and for all the amazing advice he's giving us today, go to stopthecap.com. Down on the right-hand side, you'll see the donate button. Do it.
Yeah, we work for free. We don't take any money from any company, business, or special interest group. It's all individuals like you and I, and that's what helps us put in legal briefs and other things to participate in these hearings, because anyone can run a blog, anyone can run a website, but you have to go take the argument to the people who make the decision, and that's what we've been doing since 2008, and we stopped Frontier when they tried a 5 gigabyte monthly cap. I don't know if folks remember that.
Oh, yeah.
We stopped Time Warner Cable across the entire country. They've never even considered going back to usage caps after we were through with them.
Good.
Back in 2009. And, we surprise ourselves sometimes at just how effective we can be in fighting these issues, because we have truth on our side, and that's the biggest thing.
Yep.
The one thing that gets me, though, is, I try to always get, because I only get cable, just the TV.
Yep.
My internet is through Frontier. And then they'll try to throw in phone. It's like, wait a minute. No, I got rid of my landline. I don't want a phone line.
But sometimes if you add the phone service,
it's cheaper,
and you just ignore it.
Yeah, and this is the thing. This is what's so surprising.
No. I've gotten them to turn around and say, because I'll sit there and say, well, you know what? Dish is offering or this or that. Well, we don't want to lose you as a valuable customer. Like you said, Phil, you got to be the squeaky wheel and go back to them, threaten to leave.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they can lower it, by 15, 20 bucks. And it's like,
right.
Really?
And they start by telling you they want to take things away from you. That's the first thing they do. They'll say, well, let's do this. And I say, I don't need to have something taken away from me. I can go to your competitor right now and get this and more for less. So don't let them do that to you. Just say, no, this is about the price. I'm not losing anything that I have now. In fact, I want more. You guys are getting more. You're going to make a ton of money on this nice merger deal. Where's my dividend? Where's my faster broadband? Where's my lower bill? And you tell them that, and you be flexible. Now, see, because you're pushing on that phone service is $10 a month additional. And by the way, I have it. It works great. And I can call the entire continent of Europe as a local call now. So, here I am again talking nice things about Time Warner Cable. They should pay me. But I'm telling you, it's so funny when I go in there and I find out that if you want the double play, which is the TV and the broadband, it costs more than the triple play, which includes the phone line.
Yep.
And so what I tell people, take the phone line and they'll give you equipment for it and stick it in the closet.
Yep.
Just ignore it. You don't need it. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. All you're interested in is paying less money.
Exactly. Yep.
I had an issue at one point where I was having all kinds of trouble with my cable box, with pixelating and audio dropout and everything else. At one point, they gave me that big box that does internet, phone, and cable.
Yeah.
Thinking that would solve the problem. I don't have them for phone. I don't have anybody for phone. And I don't have them for internet. But they put this box in my house. And then of course I said, I don't want this. I'm not paying for this. Don't give me this.
Mm-hmm.
And the next month, of course, it showed up on my bill. So I called up and said, cancel everything. They gave me a nice deal and they said, well, okay, we don't want that. And I said, all right, I'll unplug it. I'll bring it in. They said, don't bother bringing it in. Just leave it.
Yeah.
I said, what? They said, just leave it. Just leave it there.
Even now, when you buy your own, you buy your own cable modem and you have triple play, you have to keep the Time Warner modem for your telephone. They just stop charging you for it.
Right. It's the amazing modem. It transforms.
Yeah, it transforms into a free modem.
It costs you $10 if you use it for internet service, but if you only use it for phone service, it's free.
Yeah.
Because, again, and what's funny is when you listen to these conferences that they have with their shareholders, the CEO admits right up front, we're just gouging people. This is just a rate increase.
Because we can.
Yeah. But we know that people are lazy, and they're probably not going to go out and buy their own modem. So, hey, that's $10 gravy in our pocket every month.
It used to be five or less.
It was five, but now, see, Comcast charges 12, so there's room for growth there.
Oh, very good to know. Very good to know.
Comzilla sets the trend for who's going to be the most rapacious in this industry, and it's Comcast. So whatever they're doing, if we just gouge a little less, that'll be okay.
Yeah, right. We're not the bad guys.
Right. Yeah, they're all bad guys. And right. I'm telling you, you know, this is what happens when you have, you know, greed that is unchecked with real competition. And they will tell you up and down that they're competitive all the time. And then you say, okay, I would like to have a 50 megabit internet connection. And then I call Frontier and they say, too bad, so sad. We can give you 3.1 megabits. Isn't that fast enough for all the websites you want to use?
Right.
Yeah, if it was 1987. So,
right.
You know, it's just like they won't help you because that means that they would have to run an expensive upgrade out to this part of Brighton. You know, it's not that I live in Riga or something or in the sticks. I'm sitting here less than a mile from the city line, and it's 3.1 because the phone cable that serves us travels down 490 from the Field Street office, down 590 to Elmwood Avenue here where I am, and that's a real long line. So here's your 3 megabit internet. And by the way, when all the surcharges are added up, it's going to cost you a little more than what Time Warner Cable would have charged you for 20. So
right.
Great deal. Thanks.
Thanks,
so
yeah.
So one choice.
Yeah.
And that's why they get away with what they do.
People don't know how many megabits per second they actually need.
Oh, they don't have a clue. Yeah.
And for example, my daughter, she says, Dad, she's moving into a new apartment in Arizona where she's going to grad school. Dad, they only offer 15 megabits. I said, honey, you're in a studio apartment. It's just you.
Right.
15 megabits is fine.
Yeah, well, Netflix will work fine. Hulu will work fine.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do something else at the same time. I mean, you know, what my concern isn't so much that what one person's doing, but if you have a family.
Right.
And one of them's watching, nobody watches live TV anymore around here. You know, everyone's, it's on demand or nothing. I don't watch commercials anymore. I'm so through with that.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, the best day of my life was when Hulu came out with their $11.99 commercial free plan. It's worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will not sit, you know, I'm trialing the CBS All Access Pass because, you know, while we know that there's going to be another Star Trek coming up and it will only be available there.
Right.
Which means you'll pay $5.99 a month. And for that $5.99 a month, I sat and tried to watch 60 Minutes last week. And in between the Cialis and the Viagra ads and everything else, I was like, I'm paying $6 a month for you to pelt just as many TV ads at me that I would have seen on my free over-the-air TV.
Right.
No thanks.
Right.
So, you know, and they're offensive ads because it's the same ad over and over again.
Yeah. That's the thing that makes me insane.
If Fred Tomlinson asks me for a reverse mortgage one more time.
Right. I mean, I don't know where I'm going to put the second bathtub over here. You know? So, you know, it's like, you know, because now we have to have, you know, I don't know what their message they're trying to send with that ad, but. You know, I know everything about Cialis for daily use. I know everything about, you know, I see what the Fonz is doing with his life these days.
Yep,
it's all reverse mortgages. And, you know, I'm sorry. You're asking me to pay $6 a month to watch this ad five times during 60 minutes.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm not doing it. And so, you know, I don't understand what their thinking is on that. And a lot of people on Wall Street are wondering the same thing because there is a view now that live TV, linear TV as they call it, except for sports and news, is dying.
Right.
Nobody cares about the 500-channel universe anymore. Nobody wants to watch these shows. You can't find anything on the cable box, you know, because there's a million channels, of which half you've never heard of before.
But they're not a million channels. There's 300 channels repeated three times.
Well, I have my theory of Law and Order, of course, is that any time, day or night, you will find at least one network carrying Law and Order.
And it's
the home shopping channel in Brazil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but it becomes a problem because when they say, well, we've got 1,000 channels, no, you don't. Right. You have 300
channels.
It's
the West Coast feed of this one, or it's showing, you know, if they just took the shows, the original shows on a lot of these cable networks and put them on demand, you could free up the bandwidth right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason for half of these channels to exist. I remember for a while there, I forgot what it was. It was a fine arts channel that spent most of their broadcast schedule airing reruns of an antique roadshow.
Yep.
Yep.
And Time Warner Cable said, we're paying for this. And actually, the ex-CEO said, we're dropping this channel. Of course, he could afford to do it because it wasn't owned by Viacom or one of these others where they retaliate by taking away all the channels.
Right, right.
So, but this is the game we're playing. And this is why, remember when I thought if cable TV costs more than $20 a month, people will go, that's outrageous.
Yep, yep.
And I'm like, remember when it used to cost the cup, just like it costs the same as one cup of coffee a day. But you didn't realize it was one of that civet coffee from Starbucks.
Yeah.
$80 a month. And they say within about 10 or 15 years, unchecked, the cable bill will be $100 a month just for cable TV.
Yep, yep.
Because of sports. Yeah. As I said, I don't watch them. I saw golf once. It scared me.
Right, right. My wife's grandmother used to watch golf all the time. And once I said to her, I said, did you used to play golf? She says, no, I just like to look at the sunshine in the winter.
Do you know that they had a scandal I think CBS got caught up in this. It was a scandal because somebody recognized that they were sweetening the audio with bird songs. They actually didn't live in the area where they were playing the match, and someone identified that. And I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. So listen, Phil, would you like to come to Apple Cider next month and go with this?
Unfortunately, I was so overwhelmed because we've been battling in California.
Yes, I imagine you were,
And as I say, thank goodness you're a citizen of the state of New York, because for everything else, we have a public service commission that actually listens. And you have to give them cogent arguments that are provable with actual facts, which we are capable of doing. And we did, and they listened, and they implied a lot of terms and conditions on this deal that really shocked Charter into what they're going to have to pay in this state. And we deserve it. And in California, the story's not the same.
Right.
And we were highly disappointed with what happened this week. But as I said, 7 years with no data caps and all that's much better than three. And I know that people will probably have a lot of questions. So, yes, I absolutely will come to the next Cider meeting.
Great. Great.
And June 8th. If people want to help me with questions, they can do it there.
Okay, we got to go. Phil, we won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for taking an hour of your day to chit-chat with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Thanks to Phil Dampier of StopTheCap.com. We'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1, 59 minutes after the hour.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before I get back to the phones, let me once again thank the great Phil Dampier of StopTheCap.com for generously giving us an hour of his time to talk about the upcoming Time Warner Charter Bright House merger.
Charter Time House.
Charter Time House. Time Chart House. House to Time to Chart.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Bright Time Charter?
Yeah, right.
No.
No. Will not be a Bright Time Charter. But thank you so much. And for those of you who missed that hour, of course, the podcast will be up by the end of the weekend, maybe later today. Who knows what's going on there.
The YouTube video stream is already there.
Oh, there we go. Right. And the YouTube video stream is on. It's already being saved, so you'll be able to go back and restart that. And so let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Canandaigua, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, my sister got a Chromebook last week, and I'm trying to help her set it up. And she had a tablet, and I'm trying to get all of the different apps and things on it that she used to use.
Sure.
And I'm having a lot of trouble finding apps that are going to work on the Chromebook.
Okay, here's what you do. An easy way to do that, you open up the Chrome Web Store. That's one of the apps that's already on your machine.
Okay.
You go into the Web Store, and you search it by name. So let's say you want to do crosswords. You just type the word crosswords in, and it'll give you a list of all the apps, all the extensions, and if there are any themes, that it'll give those too, but that's less important.
And that can sometimes be the trick. You may not find the exact same program, right, say Photoshop, but you will find a dozen image editors.
Well, she's looking for specific things like the Channel 13 app, Channel 8, QVC, things like that.
We'll go to their websites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we go to the website, and then it says you're not logged in under an email address when you try to download them.
Well, you're right. Here's the thing. The Chromebook does not use the same formats as Windows does or as the Mac does. So applications that are available for them will not work on a Chromebook. Just like a Mac app won't work on a Windows machine, it won't work on a Chromebook. So what you need to do is, if you wanted to do something with CBS, you would need to go to CBS or go to nbc.com and see what they have available.
And many times you can just watch their feeds right on their website. You don't need an app for that.
Right, and because the Chromebook is essentially a browser in a box, anything you can do on their websites, you can do, you can watch directly.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks.
And that was one of the things Phil had mentioned, that CBS is starting to offer this CBS All Access so that you can get CBS programming over the internet without paying for cable TV. And of course, one of the alternatives there is you get an antenna and you can get CBS for free.
Right, exactly.
But having these internet presences and either web apps or standalone apps acts like a DVR. So some people who've said that they want to cut the cable cord, you know, myself included, my big thing is the DVR remembers all the shows I want to watch. For, you know, I need to watch these five shows because I haven't seen these in this order yet. I'm looking for an app to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like the CBS app. The shows are all there. You just have to remember which ones you want to watch. You can go back and watch the old ones.
Right. I'm with Phil in that if I'm going to pay every month for your app, don't show me commercials.
Right.
It makes me crazy to go to a movie now. I love to go to movies early. But now you sit there and you sit through an hour of ads. I'm paying money to watch advertising. No, thank you.
And that's just before the previews of the other movies.
I love the previews. I don't like the ads.
Bring back the trivia questions.
Right. Bring back anything except the ads. I have stopped going to the movies as often as I did because I just don't want to sit through other people. I don't want to pay to watch ads.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's that simple. Yep. I do not want to pay.
You got to put your coat down and then go back out to the lobby and play a video game or something.
Yeah, right.
Or no, you go in, get your seat, like you said, and then go out. Your coat's there. You
then
go
get
out,
your popcorn.
Yeah, get anything else you want to go to the restroom or anything else while the movie started.
You remember when they used to bring the concession cart into the theater?
Yeah.
So you
You're older than you look.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, guys. I wanted to tell you, I took the plunge this week and updated the computer to Windows 10.
Ah.
And I'll tell you, from what I heard from other family members and stuff, I didn't have any glitches during the download and install, other than when I went to the icon in the system tray, and it said, you know, upgrade now or download and upgrade at another time. I chose that option, but it didn't give me the option to upgrade another time. It just upgraded.
Microsoft is getting a little more adamant about that now.
Yeah, they're getting a little feisty.
And of course, they have now said that after July 29th, it will cost you $120.
Right.
For the home version and $200 for the pro version of Windows. It will not be free after the 29th on a new machine.
That's why I did the plunge now. Figured, you know, it's got to be done at some point, you know.
Right.
Windows 7 is starting to get a little long in the tooth, even though it works great. So I did it, and like I said, that was one glitch. Other than the install went great. My brother had a 30-minute stall where at 33% it just didn't move.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
finally it did, and, you know, his install went okay. But I didn't have any of that. It actually only took a little over an hour.
People ask us that all the time. Can I install this myself? I don't know. And if there's a problem, will you know how to fix it?
Right.
If there's no problems, you probably could.
Yes, exactly.
But you know there's going to be problems.
Well, but part of it, some of that is when you upgrade. Okay? So if you upgrade during a busy time of the day, Microsoft servers, or probably one server, is bogged down and people will wait. If you are on a slow broadband connection, a slow internet connection, it's not broadband if it's less than 25 megabits per second. Thank you. But if you're on a slow internet connection, it can get bogged down. So there's where in the country you're connecting and what's in between you and them, because let's face it, it's internet, and you can be kind of anywhere. If you're routing through Portland and Portland has a problem, you've got a problem. If you're routing through Cleveland and Cleveland doesn't have a problem, you win.
Right. So mine only took a little over an hour, about an hour and 15 to do the download and the install.
Yep. Nice.
So that was great. Problem I did have when the system finally did come up, and I saw it come up and I just let it do its thing. I let it sit for 15, 20 minutes.
Yep.
Before I even walked over to the machine, because I know things sometimes take a while and they first get going. So
yep.
I waited. I went over. First thing I tried to do was open the start menu. No luck. Wouldn't open.
Huh.
Then I noticed, I pointed to the system tray where the notification icon is, and it said notifications. Clicked on that. Wouldn't open. So I said, I got on the internet, and I guess it's a common problem. And it can happen after the install. It can happen 3 months after you've downloaded it. I guess it's a common problem. But it suggested to run PowerShell. Put a command in there, tried that, didn't work. So I said, reboot. I rebooted, everything worked fine.
And it was fine. One of the things that people forget is that this is still Windows.
Yeah.
The first thing you should do after any sort of an upgrade like that is reboot.
Yeah, several times. And one of the things that Microsoft has done, and Apple has done it too, is that they try to give you cursor control before it's actually done finishing loading everything in the background. So it makes it feel like it's booting faster. But that one thing you try to do may be not ready yet. So you can move the cursor around, but you can't open a program yet. And so it feels bad because it hasn't really finished booting yet.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That's why I let it sit for so long, because I knew, that it was probably going to take a while before it'd be ready.
Yeah.
So like I said, 15, 20 minutes down the road, I still didn't have control of these things.
Yep.
But I don't know if when I went into PowerShell and did that, because it did not say to reboot, but I did anyways after it wouldn't work. And the problem was solved. So there's another thing. Another thing that I didn't have to do is it kept Firefox as the default browser.
Yep.
Which was nice. I didn't have to go tinkering around with that.
Yep, and they've done a very nice job of keeping most of your
respecting your wishes
defaults. Yeah, unbelievable,
wow.
Unbelievable, but true. Yeah. This is causing a problem though, because Edge, which is Microsoft's browser, is actually losing browser share.
Well, sure, because it's just a glorified Internet Explorer.
Well, and it's kind of junk, and everybody knows it.
Right.
Now, well, good for you.
The other thing is I talked to Dave weeks ago about an error I was getting in the computer management section of the computer under events and stuff, where I was getting this hard drive error with that red exclamation point.
Right.
And then I opened it up when I was talking to him on the phone, and it said controller. So Dave and I were talking, and Dave said, well, why don't you open the machine and pop the serial ATA cable into the other controller? So I did that weeks ago, and the problem came back again.
Mm.
So, you know, that was one thing. So I go yesterday into that portion, and I look, and the past 4 days, this system's been updated. No controller error.
Good. Nice. Excellent.
It's popping up every day, 2-3 times a day.
Yeah. Good, huh?
You know? So I don't know what the problem was there either. See, because I figured if it's a controller problem, it's going to be there no matter what operation.
Well, it was clearly a driver problem, and they fixed the driver. Yeah. Excellent.
And sometimes, so, you know, they could do one update. It might have been a minor one, but it's enough to screw up other stuff.
So I was glad I didn't decide to change the motherboard or anything. I could have got one for about $85, the same motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to, I said, I'm going to wait and see what happens when I update.
You know, there you go.
Good
idea.
It goes well, and it did, and now that's gone.
All right. Excellent. Cool. Excellent.
So, well, thank you so much for letting me speak my piece again.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Have
good
fun.
Luck.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks.
And since we're closing in on the time when Windows 10 won't be free anymore, you may want to download it and not install it.
Right.
Just in case, you know, if you're not ready yet.
Well,
but
what they're saying
later.
Is you install it. Then you roll it back. That locks in your free upgrade.
Yeah, but that could cause even
more problems.
Well,
but that's how you do it. And just to reiterate, in fact, Microsoft has said specifically that after July 29th, or maybe on July 29th, Windows 10 will no longer be a free upgrade. It doesn't matter where you got it, when you got it, how you got it. It will no longer be a free upgrade.
So
now
even if it's already downloaded but not installed yet,
we don't know that. We just know that what the guy who's in charge of the Microsoft Windows division at Microsoft says is that after July 29th, it will no longer be free. So if you download it and install it, it's free. Updates will always be free. Up to July 29th, the installation will be free. After that, all updates will be free. But if you want to buy it, if you want to get it after July 29th, you will buy it.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Nancy from West Henrietta, New York. Hi, Nancy. What's up?
I was calling about the man that was talking to you for a long time.
Yeah.
He said something about digital TVs.
Yes.
I have an old TV with a box and an antenna. Now, does that mean it will not work? Be working soon?
You already have the box to make it work. So it's that box that makes the old analog TVs work on the digital system. And those boxes were initially promised to be free, but now most people are paying $3 to $5 for them if you look on your bill. They're generally listed as a digital TV converter or digital TV adapter.
Oh, I see. So okay, I thought maybe my TV would not be working.
No. It's the other way around. If you didn't have that, your TV would stop working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you very much for your help. Sure.
No, that's great,
no problem.
Nancy. Thank you.
Yep.
And a lot of people who had those digital converter boxes on an old television, you may have forgotten about them when you got rid of that TV because it was free and you forgot about it. Now you're being paid. You're being charged for it. Because it's on your bill now. So take a look at your bill and see if it's there. And if it is, you know, call them and get them to remove it.
Right.
They may tell you to bring the box in, which now you got to find it.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah.
You're sending that to somebody. Send it to me, too, will you?
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of that. Do we want to do this before the break or after? After the break. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a cut. So if you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We have Don from Brighton on the line. Hiya, Don. What's up?
Well, number one, I'm getting a message that I'm not running authentic Windows 7. And that concerns me because I also just got a notice this morning that Windows is going to automatically update me to Windows 10 on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I'm really worried if it says I don't have authentic Windows.
Have you always gotten this notice, or did it just start?
But the Windows, I've had the computer about 5 years, and the notification that I don't have authentic Windows started 3 or 4 months ago, and I've ignored it.
Yeah, what sometimes happens is that people will there are algorithms that will generate Windows 7 authentic registration numbers. And so what's happened is somebody randomly generated one that's the same as yours, and now Windows is seeing two of them, and probably both of you are getting the notice. Theoretically, Windows 10 won't have a problem. When you upgrade, you will become an automatic user. Microsoft said early on that even illegal copies of Windows 7 will upgrade to Windows 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but, you know, this is Microsoft, and they change their mind regularly. It's like the tide. If you don't like it coming in, wait till it goes out. So I don't honestly know, but the theory is that it should not be a problem.
Okay. Now, the second thing is, when I do update, what preparation should I be taking?
Back up everything.
Onto another hard drive, just in case.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, and then you need to check with any software programs you're running to make sure they are compatible with the new Windows 10, especially if they're more than 2 or 3 years old. Most current software would be, because Windows 10's been out for a year. But if you're running, let's say, like, you know, an old version, you know, Quicken 2007 or, you know, something really old, it may not work on the new operating system.
Okay. Well, now when it backs up, I will have to reload all my software.
No, I'm talking, well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You definitely want to make sure you back up all of your documents.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Anything that you have loaded in terms of programs, one would assume you actually have the disks for those, so you could reload them if you had to. But as Steve said, make sure that the version you have is compatible with Windows 10. Otherwise, it may not work when you upgrade.
Okay. Oh, boy, what a pain in the you-know-what-see.
Yes, it is.
Time-consuming.
Yeah. You can always opt not to upgrade to Windows 10, and see if you can fix your Windows 7 error. I'm posting a link from Microsoft about things to try if you get this Windows is not genuine error message.
But you're probably better off just to go ahead, bite the bullet now, because you know you only got 2 more months after this to go, or otherwise you're going to pay over $100.
Do you know how much memory your computer has in it?
8.
Okay, so you're good there.
Yeah, you're good.
But I upgraded it.
Yep.
Okay. But, you know, I'm just concerned. I remember the last time I updated a computer, I counted how many hours it took me to reload my software.
Right.
You shouldn't.
About 26 hours.
You shouldn't need to do that. That's always the goal. And that's one of the reasons to have a backup, is that if the upgrade fails, you just restore from your backup, and you know that's an hour or two, and isn't as bad as trying to reinstall everything.
Well, when you say a backup, there are two kinds of backups. One is backing up my data, and one is backing up the whole computer.
Right.
You should definitely back up your data.
Yeah.
If you want to back up your whole computer, and then if the Windows 10 upgrade doesn't work, you can go back to 7 and try it again. then you can use something like CloneZilla or a program like that to back up your whole hard drive.
What program were you suggesting to back up the hard drive?
CloneZilla.
Cobian backup.
Cobian backup. There's a bunch that will do it.
To post those two things.
Steve will post those.
A lot of times when you buy an external hard drive to back up onto, it comes with backup software, too.
Yeah, well, I bought those drives a couple of years ago, and so I'm not sure if I have the software.
Right. He'll put that up. It's at clonezilla.com, like Godzilla, but with a clone, clonezilla.com.
With a C or K or what?
With a C.
C-R-O-M-E, Chrome?
Clone, as in make a, you know, like Dolly the Sheep was cloned. C-L-O-N-E-Zilla.
Okay, yeah, pardon me.
Yeah, not a problem. So it's just CloneZilla, but Steve will post it on the website.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
I stayed home special to listen to your show today to ask these questions. You guys are a lifesaver over and over again.
That's absolutely our pleasure. Thanks.
And by the way, I am I renewed about a month ago.
Perfect. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, and I named Soundbites as my friend.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks.
Well, gentlemen, have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much. If you're gonna upgrade, we always suggest make sure you have a good backup of your data. If you're not sure what it is you're running in terms of programs, make sure you have backups of those. Maybe do a whole clone of the system using something like CloneZilla, and so that'll work.
And just in general, you want to have a second, third, fourth, at least a second copy of all your data in case something goes wrong. Your hard drive could crash, you know, the power could fail and the computer could die. You could accidentally delete a file. And so having a backup is that safety measure that you can go back and get what you lost.
Right. Absolutely. Always have good backups available to you.
Oh, Jeff. Yeah.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller, it's Linda from Greece, New York. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Good. Long time no hear from you guys.
I know. How you been?
I've been doing good. I'm having my left hip replaced on June 24th.
Good for you.
I had the right one done in 2000. Okay. What I'm calling about, when I upgraded my phone, I went to the iPhone. I love it. Okay. And then my cousin for Christmas got me an Apple Watch. My question is, I want to put my credit card on Apple Pay on the phone, but it keeps telling me in order to use that, I have to have it on the watch with a passcode. I don't want it on the watch. Is there any way around that?
Do you also have an Apple Watch?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
See, the Apple Watch, I have to put a passcode on, and that's a pain in the you-know-what.
Right, yeah. So it's a safety precaution that if you don't have a passcode, anyone can, walking by you, suck all the money out of your credit card.
Oh.
So they just have to be in physical proximity, you know, a couple of feet sometimes. We've even heard of cases where the person behind you in line at the store, their credit card gets charged instead of yours.
Yeah, well, I have got, I don't know what you call it. I got it on the shopping channel. You put it in your wallet, and they can't scan your wallet.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it.
Yeah, it's a Faraday cage.
it's a credit card protector.
Yeah.
But I just want to use my iPhone to pay for things, but I don't want to use it. But I was just at the Apple store, and I forgot to ask him. That's why I'm calling you. But I tried, he set it up for me, and then on my Apple Watch, it says, in order to do that, you must put a passcode in. But the guy at the store told me I didn't have to. I'm confused now.
It may not need a passcode on the phone, but it may want a passcode on the watch.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I don't want to put a passcode on the watch. If I use Apple Pay, let me break that. If I use Apple Pay on my phone, it automatically goes to my watch, which I don't want it to. Is there any way around that?
Turn off wrist detect, which I don't know where. I found a tech note about you must Yeah, to help ensure the security of Apple Pay, you must have a passcode on your device. Either passcode or, and optionally Touch ID. So passcode or Touch ID, which is the fingerprint.
Touch ID on my iPhone.
Yeah, so Apple Watch Wrist Detect must be enabled. So maybe if you disable Wrist Detect, you can not need a passcode. So let's see how we can disable Wrist Detect. But it's basically a security precaution that in order to use Apple Pay, you have to type in your code, or you use your phone and use the fingerprint sensor, the Touch ID, to authorize the payment.
Yeah, I know. Because my girlfriend uses her iPhone all the time, but she doesn't have the Apple Watch, and she doesn't have a problem. But because I have the Apple Watch, it wants me to sync both of them, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. There might be a way to, I don't have an Apple Watch, so I'm not sure. There might be a way to deactivate that. I'm sure if Sal is listening, he'll call in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gee. Nick.
Yeah.
I completely forgot your name.
It's okay. I forget it myself sometimes.
Okay. I had an upgrade. I had the strangest thing happen. Now, I don't know if anybody else has got an Android phone. I had an Android phone, you know, for a long time.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, my phone calls were coming in, and it said restricted, restricted, restricted. They weren't going through. Verizon didn't know the answer to that question. That's why I went to the iPhone, because I got tired of having all these problems.
Sure.
Why would that automatically happen?
What it sounds like is it was a glitch. It actually glitch either in the phone or in your what do you got, carrier. Verizon? In your carrier.
Verizon.
Yeah, it was either a glitch in the phone or in the carrier. But either way, it got resolved when you switched over to the iPhone.
Yeah.
So it may have been actually in the phone itself. You can set calls to be restricted, so you may have set that in your Android phone. So
because they kept saying, they kept leaving messages, and then have to call them back. So I needed an upgrade, and my girlfriend had the iPhone. Nick, remember I told you I would never get an iPhone?
Yeah.
This is better than sliced bread.
Yep.
Great. And, good for you.
And I found how you can turn off the Wrist Detect. You use the phone in the Watch app under General to turn that off. But the Wrist Detection feature is what, when you lift your wrist to look at the phone, that's what turns on the watch screen. So if you turn that off, then you won't need a passcode for Apple Pay. But that also means when you lift your wrist, you won't be able to see the watch turn on. So it's sort of that catch-22. I would say put a passcode on the watch for Apple Pay, and then just use your phone to make the payments.
Yeah. I know, but I go into my Apple Watch a lot, and every time I do, I had to put a code in, which seemed to be a pain in the.
Yeah, I get it. All right, thanks, Linda.
So I had the right one down. I'm glad I've only got two hips, Nick.
Yeah, good. That's good to know you're halfway done. You're about to get the other one done.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, okay. Linda. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. I have the Android watch. I have the LG G watch. And I originally thought I wouldn't use it much at all, but I use it an awful lot. Our next caller is Sal. Sal, where are you calling from?
I'm actually out by Utica right now.
Utica, you're still are listening. Nice, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, you can turn on the feature where you have it unlock as you unlock the phone the one time, and as long as you keep the watch on, it'll stay unlocked. You can access it without having to put a passcode in.
Right, yeah, I just found that note. So if you do put the passcode on the watch, you only need to enter it in when you reboot your watch or when you remove it from your wrist. Whatever. Yeah. So if it stays on your wrist all the time, then you don't have to put the passcode in all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can have it unlocked via your phone. So if you're unlocking your phone, your Apple Watch will unlock automatically.
Which is what Linda wants to do. When she makes a payment, you hit your fingerprint so that it activates the payment that will unlock the watch also.
Exactly.
So with Apple Pay and with Android Pay too, you can hold your watch up to the terminal, or you hold your phone up to the terminal.
Right, and you don't have to. The credit cards don't automatically add to the watch unless you have it do it.
Right,
it's a separate it's a separate process.
But it sounds like if you turn on Apple Pay on the phone, you have to turn it onto the watch too.
I'd have to double check that. I don't remember having to do that. I think only the primary card that's assigned to your Apple ID, maybe.
Maybe it could be. Well, thanks.
Sure. No problem.
Yep.
All right, thanks. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Paul from Brighton, New York on the line. Hi, Paul. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I run Super Anti-Spyware, and I haven't tried to look at log files in a long time. I just tried to look at some, and turns out there are no log files on the system, even though on the setup screen I have it checked off to save the logs of all the scan results. I went to the folder where they're supposed to be, and sure enough, they're not there. What do I have to do to start compiling those log files?
Theoretically, you just...
checkbox should have been enough.
Turn it off, uncheck it, reboot, check it on.
Okay.
Maybe it forgot it was on or didn't notice it was on?
I haven't checked. It's been checked for a long time. I just don't bother looking at them because I take it for granted.
Now,
do you also run CCleaner?
I was just going to say that.
You found the same note I did.
Probably did, yeah.
Do I run what?
A CCleaner or another one of the cleaning programs to clean out cruft?
No, I run Malwarebytes and Avast. That's about
it. That should be okay. Some of the cleaning programs will delete log files because they're essentially unnecessary.
Sure.
And so so they can save the disk space.
I generally don't run those cleaner programs.
All right. Well, in that case, try turning it off.
Reboot and recheck it again.
You got it.
See how it runs. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Sometimes it's just a glitch in the system. Sometimes I'm just a glitch in the system. That can happen. I get it.
So you check the event log. So run Super Anti-Spyware, which then will make a log file.
Right.
And if you don't see it, check the event log, see if there's an error trying to create the log file or something. Maybe it's a permission error. Do you have to be elevated permissions to run Super Anti-Spyware?
Generally not, no. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I have a problem, and I don't know if it's a problem. I'll run it by you. Got an iPad, and I have one of these cases around it that when you close the little flop-top case on it, it cuts the iPad off. However, for some time now, it seems that when I turn the iPad off, at least I think I'm turning it fully off, if I come back 5, 6, 7 hours later, sometimes the iPad will be on. Is that possible?
There shouldn't be a way for it to automatically turn on again, especially if it's powered off completely. So you're holding the power button until you get the slide to power off?
Right. At least I think I am.
And that's, so you have to do that slide to power off,
right.
And then you'll see the little spinny thing as it shuts down.
Right.
There shouldn't be any way to auto power back on in that case. If it's just asleep, then it can come back on, yes.
Mm. Okay. Well, if you I'm not losing it.
Let me think. If it's off and you plug it in, it starts charging it. And I have seen a couple of cases where you get an Apple, it like wakes up the screen to charge it, but I think it still stays off.
To the best of my memory, it still stays off, though it will wake it up and you'll see the little battery thing come up and then it'll go off again.
Yeah.
I just cross-check, and I've been trying to figure out, is it me? Am I actually not turning it off? And I thought I did. I'll keep following this, but I just wanted to know if maybe this is something that is a real issue or it's me.
Check your clock program to see if there's an alarm set.
The clock.
I don't know if it will turn on if it's off when an alarm goes off, but it's something to check.
I wouldn't think it would, but I'll check that.
Well, see, one of the issues is it is only software. The power button is a software button, so off there might still be some life to it. Because when you plug it in, yes. it knows it's charging, so there is some circuitry that still is energized.
Well, now, normally when I do hold, depress the button long enough for the little slide to come off and slide it off, I kind of look for this little circle thing that goes around. And now and then I can see it spinning, and then it goes away, and I said, oh, it must be off.
Now it's completely off.
I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Sure.
Yeah, now I know that the Mac itself has a wake on.
Yeah, wake
demand.
On LAN and wake on a time, too, but I don't remember seeing that in the iPad.
Where you call from, Roy?
I don't know.
One of the things you can try is settings in general, there's an erase all settings. And then, you know, sort of the drastic measure is to erase and restore the iPad itself.
Right.
You know, restore from your backup. One of the things, in fact, I had two people this week, their iPad says it hasn't been backed up in weeks. When you turn it off, it can't back up.
Right.
So to back it up, it has to be on and asleep. So typically, you never need to turn it off, typically. When you have it charging at night and it automatically locks and goes to sleep, that's when it can do the backup while it's charging and locked.
Right.
But it has to be on to do that with.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Roy from Pittsford, New York. Hi, Roy. What's up?
Good afternoon. I'll be quick. A follow-up question on the i10 installation or Windows 10 installation.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there is a program or something to check to see if your applications will run on Windows 10. Does that mean you have to load it in and try each one, or is there some kind of a program that can be run that will check them somehow?
There's a hardware compatibility checker from Microsoft.
As far as software, I think you've got to go to each particular one and do it.
So you try it, and if it doesn't start or doesn't run right, then...
Well,
you go to the website of that company and find their Windows 10 compatibility notice.
Yeah, you go to there, and say you're using Quicken. You would go to the Quicken website and check to see if your version of Quicken is compatible with Windows 10. Or if you're using Adobe, Photo Illustrator, whether that version that you have is compatible with Windows 10. That's why we've said to folks, before you go ahead and do it, make sure all your software, and it's time-consuming, you got to go through and make sure each one that you use a lot is going to work with Windows 10.
Now, there was the Windows Upgrade Assistant for Windows 8 that did check your software.
Well, the Windows 10 tool will check some of your software.
But not all, yeah.
Right, it will check the Microsoft software.
But not necessarily third-party software.
But not the third-party software. And that was the same of that was true with Windows 8, by the way.
Well, here's another quick question. I run Outlook. I'm in Windows 7.
Yeah.
And I run Outlook 2007.
Yep.
And I wonder if it'll run okay.
So sometimes you could just Google that, too, Outlook 2007 in Windows 10. Other people may have already reported that.
Yeah.
On the Mac, we have a really great community website called Roaring Apps, back when the Mac systems were named after cats, that lists compatibility information like that. But I've never really seen anything like that with Windows.
Okay,
it's like that would be worse on Windows because the changes are more drastic.
Okay, right. This is going to be harder than I thought.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm afraid it is. In some cases, Windows Outlook 2007 will not send after installation of Windows 10. And then you have to do that by running the system file checker and then Office Diagnostics, and that should fix the problem if it happens to you.
Try to remember that one.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I don't want to hold you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
This guy says there is a Windows Upgrade Advisor that will look for applications and hardware, but very nicely does not give a link to the Windows Upgrade Advisor.
No. Oops. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, it's going to take time, and whether Roy wants to take the time to do it or he's going to wind up paying somebody else if he takes it somewhere, to check all his software packages.
And some people just take the drastic approach of upgrading to Windows 10 and see what doesn't work.
Yeah. Throw it up against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But generally speaking, if your apps are more than 3 or 4 years old or so, there's a risk. Mm-hmm. Most of the modern apps, especially if they were released after Windows 10, should work in Windows 10.
Right.
Yeah.
And many of them, in point of fact, may say they don't work but do work.
They're not supported on Windows
10. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And what that means is they're not supported. So they'll work, but if you have a problem, don't call anybody.
Yeah, they're not going to listen to it.
Right, right. any upgrade has its issues. Linux people don't worry about this because if you're sticking with the...
No, that's Windows 10 Mobile.
Right. If you're sticking with the... official repositories, then everything is always going to work all the time, even with upgrades. But with every other platform, or if you're using third-party apps, even with Linux, you should check with the manufacturer of every third-party application to make sure that it is, in fact, compatible with Windows 10. And if you are running an older version of something, you definitely want to check. There are people who are still using... Quicken from, like, what, 100 years ago, the Quicken Oregon Trail version. And you need to be very aware that it probably will not work when you upgrade to Windows 10. It may be time, if you still want to use it for free, to go to the online version of Quicken.
Yeah, we've always had that problem in the Mac community, that the OS upgrades have been free for the last 5 or 6, 7 years. But it may require you to then upgrade a program you're using.
Right.
And so suddenly the free upgrade, OS upgrade, is going to cost you in the more RAM and program upgrades.
Right.
Yeah. Now, according to Microsoft, the Windows 10, Get Windows 10 app that you probably already have on your Windows 7 machine now will test major applications. So probably the Intuits, the Adobes, the other major.
Well, that's another weasel word, right? And what does it mean by major? Could be that the only ones they figure are major are Microsoft. Their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So be very careful. Be very careful. Be very aware that in general, if you're running a lot of third-party programs.
We're hunting rabbits. Be very careful.
Exactly. All right, we're done for another week. I want to once again thank Phil Dampier of StopTheCap.com. Hi, how are you? StopTheCap.com for taking an hour out of his day to spend time with us and give us the poop. And in many ways, I do mean poop on the Time Warner Bright House Charter merger. And I want to thank everybody who called in. For those of you to whom we did not get, please call in earlier next week. We can't do more than we can do. But don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.